stars glow in space. Text appears in front of a spinning globe, Universal, an MCA company. Lord Grade presents for ITC Entertainment a Jim Henson film. The Castle of the Crystal towers over a barren desert plain. Dark storm clouds spread in the sky.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder. 1,000 years ago, this land was green and good, until the crystal cracked. For a single piece was lost, a shard of the crystal.
Lightning flashes.
Then strife began, and two new races appeared. The cruel Skeksis, the gentle mystics.
A chasm yawns below the castle. Light flickers in the chasm's depths.
Here in the Castle of the Crystal, the Skeksis took control.
In the Chamber of the Crystal, the purple crystal of truth hovers over the steaming open shaft in the center of the room. 9 hunched vulture-like Skeksis surround the crystal.
Now the Skeksis gather in the sacred chamber, where the crystal hangs above a shaft of air and fire. The Skeksis with their hard and twisted bodies, their harsh and twisted wills. For 1,000 years they have ruled, yet now there are only 10. A dying race, ruled by a dying emperor, imprisoned within themselves in a dying land.
A huge crab-like Garthim stands on a second-level balcony above the chamber floor.
Today, once more, they gather at the crystal as the first sun climbs to its peak. For this is the way of the Skeksis. As they ravage the land, so too they learn to draw new life from the sun. Today, once more, they will replenish themselves, cheat death again, through the power of their source, their treasure, their fate, the Dark Crystal.
A title appears in curving purple letters, The Dark Crystal. The ritual master, wearing his cap with its tall, curving spike, lifts his hands.
But today, the ceremony of the sun gives no comfort. Today, an emperor lies dying. Today, a new emperor must seize the throne.
Sunlight shines through a triangular opening in the ceiling and onto the crystal. Purple rays of light beam from the crystal to the face of each Skeksis. The scroll keeper with his multiple pairs of pince-nez glasses stares straight ahead. Conceptual designer, Brian Froud. The scientist wears his bony, spine-like backplate. Director of photography, Oswald Morris, BSc. The ornamentalist's lip twitches as purple light bathes her face. Film editor, Ralph Kemplin. The slave master, in a tattered ruff, stares ahead, unblinking. Production designer, Harry Lang. The Gourmand's thick neck pulses as he gazes into the light. Music by Trevor Jones. The Garthim Master's eyelid twitches. Executive producer, David Laser. The Chamberlain wears a slight smile, looking up into the purple light. Screenplay by David Odell. Story by Jim Henson. The Ritual Master stares ahead somberly. Produced by Jim Henson and Gary Kurtz. Directed by Jim Henson and Frank Oz. Above the Skeksis and Garthim, small figures stand assembled in third-level galleries carved into the chamber wall. Then, 3 suns hang over desert cliffs.
1,000 years ago, the crystal cracked. And here, far from the castle, the race of mystics came to live in a dream of peace.
An intricate sand painting illustrates planetary orbits.
Their ways were the gentle ways of natural wizards. Yet now there are only 10. A dying race, numbly rehearsing the ancient ways in a blur of forgetfulness. But today, the ritual gives no comfort. Today, the wisest of the mystics lies dying. Today, they summon the one who must save them.
Stooped, gray-haired mystics lift their wise, beaked faces. One mystic stands near a structure like a large abacus. Another mystic cooks. A third stands by a loom. Multiple mystics face the same direction in an open space sheltered by rock formations. Elsewhere, an elfin creature with shoulder-length hair plays a Y-shaped pipe by a forest pool.
In the Valley of the Mystics, there lives a Gelfling, Jen. The Skeksis killed his family, destroyed his clan. Only Jen survived, to be raised by the wisest of the Mystics. But there is a prophecy. 1,000 years have passed, and now once more the world must undergo a time of testing. Now it must be healed, or pass forever into the rule of evil. At this time, Jen is the chosen one. Today, Jen's pipe gives no comfort, for today his master lies dying, and a journey must begin. The journey of Jen.
A furry creature with two antennae looks up from a clump of ferns. Dark clouds creep across the sky. Then a stiff wind blows. Wide-mouthed birds look around from a nest on the ground. Jen clutches a vest tightly around himself as he approaches the mystic's compound. Jen runs up a gently sloped ramp leading towards stone dwellings on higher levels of the rocky compound. Two mystics, each holding a wooden staff, watch Jen as he dashes up the ramp. Jen enters one of the stone dwellings, where a white-haired mystic lies on an elevated support.
Master?
At the time when three suns...
Master, what's wrong?
You are in danger, Gilfling. And I must leave you.
Leave me? Master, no!
Gilfling, I have told you of the Skeksis.
The Skeksis killed my mother and father.
The story runs deeper than you know, and you are part of it.
I don't understand.
The white-haired master gestures over a bowl of glowing green liquid.
The Skeksis will vow to destroy you. For the prophecy says you must find the shard.
A crystal rises from the liquid.
The crystal shard.
The crystal shard?
To save our world, Gilfling, you must find the shard.
The crystal shard vanishes.
Before the three suns meet. If not, Skeksis rule forever.
Where is it?
Ogra holds the shard. Follow the greater sun for a day to the home of Ogra. There, she knows all the secrets.
A round structure on a rocky peak emerges from the liquid.
Ogra, follow the greater sun. But, Master, I'm only a Gelfling.
I should have told you these things long ago. Now it is up to you. Remember me, Jen. We may meet in another life. But not again in this one.
The master closes his eyes and lays his head on a triangular headrest.
Master! Don't leave me!
Jen gazes up at the ailing master. The old mystic shifts on his support. Then, light flickers in the chasm below the castle of the crystal. Cracks extend far out from the chasm along the barren ground. Lightning flashes overhead. Inside the castle, a short-beaked Skeksis moves along a dark corridor. He steps heavily, waddling from side to side. Chamberlain intercepts the short-beaked Garthim master.
I hate your whimper!
They move toward the Emperor's bedchamber. The other Skeksis stand assembled inside. The Garthim master and the Chamberlain enter.
Quiet!
The ritual master turns toward the two new arrivals. The Garthim master puts his hands on his hips. The Chamberlain approaches the Emperor's bed. The scientist looks up.
He's not dead yet, my Lord Chamberlain.
Kneel! Bow!
The Chamberlain gazes at the withered Emperor. He reaches for the Emperor's staff.
Mine!
The Emperor turns his wizened, skull-like face.
I am still Emperor.
The Emperor's eyes widen. His toothy beak gapes open. The Emperor collapses back into his bed. The assembled Skeksis lean toward him. The Ritual Master and the Garthim Master exchange a look. The Emperor's face crumbles. His lower jaw breaks off and his skull shatters into fragments. His sunken body shrivels into the bed, and the sheet over his body collapses. The assembled Skeksis lean toward the bed, then glance around at each other. Meanwhile, Jen gazes up at the motionless master.
Oh, master, I'll go where you send me, though I barely understand.
Purple motes of light sparkle around the master's face. He slowly vanishes. The blanket covering his body crumples. Jen bows his head. Later, a mystic plays an intricate L-shaped harp. It strums the upper section with one of its left hands and plucks the lower section with its two right hands. The other mystics stand in a circle around several objects.
Dear friend, be well. Receive your belongings. Receive them serenely.
The objects vanish.
Now send forth, Jen. Watch over his dangerous quest.
The mystics turn to face Jen, who stands above them on a rock formation.
Dear, dear master, I'll find the shard.
The mystics disperse. Jen walks along a mountain path, overlooking a green forest with a river winding through it.
I'm not ready to go alone.
A breeze ruffles Jen's hair as he gazes toward the forest.
All right. Alone, then.
Now, water tumbles over a wide swath of stony ground. Jen emerges from behind a rocky crest between two waterfalls. Then he picks his way down a vast grassy slope. Misty light glows over a stony ridge in the distance behind him. At the castle, Skeksis assemble in the throne room.
The Emperor is dead. Which one of us will be the new Emperor?
Oh, yes, my Lord Chamberlain. Time to choose an Emperor.
Yes, it should be me.
The Garthim Master looks up.
Yes.
Lord Dame, I must rule.
The Treasurer turns to the Ritual Master.
You should be the Emperor.
There's going to be a fight.
It's time to make my move.
It's me.
The ornamentalist and the scroll keeper stand by the Chamberlain. The Chamberlain moves toward the throne.
Oh, yes, we're all with you.
The Chamberlain reaches toward the Emperor's staff. The Ritual Master follows him.
Chamberlain, no, wait, stop, you can't!
Get back
admitted.
The Gotham Master approaches.
Chamberlain! Lay down my scepter!
The Gotham Master and the Chamberlain face each other.
I challenge!
The Chamberlain narrows his eyes.
Trial by stone!
Trial by stone!
Trial by stone! Slaves, reap stone! Get out there! Move! Trial by stone! Hold on, rope! Come on!
Several small, round-faced, podling slaves shuffle in. They have heads like potatoes and staring white eyes. The podlings pull a rope. A dark gray stone obelisk rises from a hole in the floor. Two curved swords rest against it. The stone stands roughly level with the heads of the Skeksis. Deep notches mark the stone about halfway up. The Chamberlain and the Gotham Master each take a sword. They strike their blades together. The Gotham Master lunges. The Chamberlain retreats. They circle each other around the stone.
You whimpering worm!
The Chamberlain bows. The Gotham Master raises his sword over his shoulder. He lands a solid blow on the stone. The Gotham Master rests a hand on his hip and looks around, nodding. He leans toward the Chamberlain. The Chamberlain looks around. He narrows his eyes. He touches his blade to the stone, then rears it back. He strikes the stone. The Gotham Master wipes a strand of saliva hanging from his beak. The Gotham Master raises his sword. He knocks off the top of the stone. It falls to the floor, glowing orange. The Chamberlain drops his sword.
Me, the Emperor!
The Gotham Master, now the Emperor, turns to the Ritual Master.
Now, by the law, he must pay!
The other Skeksis advance on the Chamberlain.
Stop! Stop!
The Chamberlain!
They back him against a wall.
Yes!
The Skeksis tear off the Chamberlain's clothes.
Take it now!
The slave master removes the Chamberlain's backplate. Other Skeksis rip the silky sleeves from his bony arms.
Now let him go! The Chamberlain is banished!
The Skeksis back away from the Chamberlain. He stands naked, clutching the stone wall with his lumpy torso and spiny back exposed.
Now, bow down to me! I am Emperor!
The Chamberlain gathers his clothes and skulks toward the door. He stops, his eyes widen.
Bishop! The crystal! The crystal calls! To the crystal chamber!
The Skeksis leave the throne room and shuffle down a stone corridor. The eight remaining Skeksis enter the crystal chamber. They approach the crystal, which glows purple above the steaming shaft. The new Emperor glances around, then gapes at the crystal. A facet of the crystal shows Jen climbing a rock face.
Oh, huh? A gelfling alive?
A gelfling!
A gelfling!
The prophecy
says gelfling will destroy us!
No! Kill him! Attack!
A crab-like Garthim stirs.
Garthim soldiers! Find the gelfling!
The Garthim's eyes glow purple. It scuttles forward onto a balcony above the chamber floor.
Garthim! The gelfling! Bring him to the castle! No! Garthim!
More Garthim emerge from doorways in the chamber wall.
Garthim! Death to Garthim!
The Garthim turn and scurry down a stone corridor on their spider-like legs. They hold their arms in front of them with three long spiky fingers on their left hands and a huge snapping claw on their right. Segmented armor covers their hunched backs. The Chamberlain watches the Garthim move down the gloomy corridor. He follows.
Ugly, hideous gelfling!
Outside, a reflection of the climbing Jen appears in the crystalline body of a bat-like creature. It hangs from its leathery wings, facing Jen as he climbs. In the distance, an egg-shaped structure rests on a rocky peak. Jen climbs a towering cliff composed of countless stacked rock formations. He picks his way amongst several clumps of pink and yellow tentacles. The clumps of tentacles retreat into the rock, like startled sea anemones.
What in the world? This place is weird. Let's see. Her name is Augra. Follow the greater sun for a day to the home of Augra. Some directions. Who is Augra, anyway?
Sparkling crabs scoot by.
One of these things? Maybe she murders gelflings. What am I doing here?
Jen brushes aside a curtain of hanging tendrils. They surround him, dragging him upward and off the ground. Jen hangs helplessly, bound by the tendrils. A gnarled hand thrusts a rotating eyeball toward Jen.
Start ye! Start ye!
A stout, grey-haired being with a wrinkled face pops the eyeball into her left socket. Her right eye socket remains empty. Curving horns protrude from her head.
Are you a gelfling?
Yes. My name is Jen.
The gelfling all dead. Garthim, kill them all. You can't be gelfling. You look like gelfling. Smell like gelfling. Maybe you are a gelfling.
I'm looking for Augra.
Who sent you?
My master, wisest of the mystics.
Where is he? Around here?
He's dead.
Could be anywhere, then.
Are you Augra?
Are you afraid of me? Think I'm going to eat you? What do you want of me?
A shard. A crystal shard.
That's all you want? A crystal shard?
Jen nods.
Drop him!
The tendrils release Jen.
Bouge! Bouge, 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 bouge!
The tendrils lift, revealing an opening in the rock. Augra waddles inside. Jen approaches the opening. He hesitates, then follows Augra. The tendrils lower behind him.
No.
Jen enters a dark cave.
Augra? Augra?
He steps further into the gloom. Jen moves toward a wall. An aperture opens into an observatory. Inside the bright, rounded structure, a complicated orrery rotates, showing the movement of the solar system. Dozens of globes, ranging in small to large sizes, orbit around each other on an elaborate system of shafts, cogs, and spindles. Iridescent rainbow hues cover each of the globes. Jen stares, wide-eyed. He steps toward the orrery.
What's it for? Is that what you want to know? You want to know what this is all about? Is that it, Gelfling? You don't know? You've never looked at the heavens. Everything in the heavens is here, moving.
She ducks.
As the heavens move. This is how to know when. That's what. Suns, moons, stars. Yes, the angle of eternity. That's how I know it's coming. How else can I make the prediction?
She stoops.
1,000 years ago, there was a great conjunction. I was there. 3 suns lined up. That's when the crystal cracked. That's when the Skeksis appeared. And the Mystics. Another great conjunction coming up. Anything could happen. The whole world might burn up. End of Augra. Better have you showered before that, Gelfling. Now, ask what the Great Conjunction is. What's the Great Conjunction?
What's the Great Conjunction? You tell me.
The Great Conjunction is the end of the world! Or the beginning? End, begin, all the same. Big change. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Ah, there it is.
Augra picks up a box.
Gelfling knows nothing.
Augra, what do I do with the shard?
Heal the dark crystal.
But how?
Questions, questions, too many questions. You want a shard? Here.
She turns the box over. Crystal shards scatter onto the floor.
Which one is it?
Don't know.
Augra lowers herself into a crouch.
Don't know. Ha! Listen, Gelfling. There is much to be learned. And you have no time.
Later, the orrery continues to spin. Augra stands on a far side of the observatory and peeks at Jen. He gazes down intently at 3 shards.
Which one? Which one is it? It's one of these 3, I'm sure.
You've already taken too long, Gelfling. Hurry!
But how do I choose?
The Mystics lift their heads and open their mouths.
I know.
Jen produces his Y-shaped pipe. He brings it to his lips. The center shard glows with purple light. Jen lowers his pipe. The purple light fades.
Yes! Now that you have it, you don't know what to do with it, do you? No one told you that, did they? But Augra knows.
The Garthim burst through an observatory window.
Garthim!
The leading Garthim smashes glass beakers and knocks over a table. Augra gapes. A Garthim scurries toward Augra, its purple eyes glowing.
Ah! Get out! Garthim! Get out!
A Garthim swings its large claw at Jen. Jen ducks, then climbs onto a passing arm of the orrery. It lifts him out of reach of the Garthim. Two Garthim grab the opposite arm of the orrery. The mechanism stops. Jen leaps from the orrery onto a ledge. He tumbles out of a window.
My home! My home!
4 large Garthim lay waste to Augra's burning observatory. She throws a metal statue.
My home!
Outside, Jen slides down a steep rocky hill covered in climbing vines. He pushes his way through a clump of broad-leafed plants, then looks up. On the rocky peak high above him, flames consume Augra's observatory.
Augra.
Jen turns away from the peak and hurries through the thick undergrowth of the forest. The Chamberlain watches him go, unnoticed. The Chamberlain stares up at Augra's burning observatory. Explosions burst from the egg-shaped structure. Now, dawn brightens the sky above a mountainous horizon. At the mystic's compound, one mystic holds a staff with several small pouches tied to it. Other mystics move up the ramp through the compound.
At last, the crystal calls. It is time. Time to return to the castle.
More mystics slowly shuffle up the ramp. Their long tails drag on the ground behind them. The line of nine mystics moves slowly along a rocky bluff overlooking a green plain. In the forest, objects resembling pinwheels lift off from a mossy surface. An otter-like creature lifts its head from a swamp. A being resembling a clump of reeds withdraws from the water, moving its roots like feet. Feathery puffballs rest on thorny stalks. An airborne creature swoops over them. Several puffballs retreat. A reptilian animal chases a small swarm of white motes. The reptilian animal steps into a small cave. The cave shuts like a clamshell. Nearby, the ground undulates beneath a carpet of dark, rounded pods. A large insect steps carefully up a mossy mound. Its eye stalks turn upward. Behind it, a fuzzy creature crouches on a striated growth. Nearby, under a twisted tree root, feathery stalks extend from long tubes. Jen sits by several toadstools, clutching the crystal shard.
Now I've got the shard. But what do I do with it? What is it? Am I supposed to take it somewhere? What's so special about this shard? It doesn't look like any...
In the shard, a moving image shows a Skeksis cracking the crystal of truth with a staff. The image fades. Jen looks around. He rises and scans the forest around him.
I don't like this.
Jen steps tentatively through the forest. A colorful animal flies past him. Jen continues past several thick trunks dotted with thorns. Feathery stalks withdraw into their tubes. A hooded figure moves through the forest nearby. Jen pauses and looks around. He continues past leafy green plants. Something scurries through the undergrowth. Jen shifts his gaze. He steps forward and looks down at a fresh footprint in the soft ground. Water fills the footprint. To his right, column-shaped objects expand and contract as though breathing. Jen moves slowly through a small clearing. Something darts in front of him. Jen's eyes widen. He strides toward a mossy hole, partially obscured by a fern. More feathery stalks withdraw as he approaches. Jen leans toward the empty hole. A furry creature opens its wide, toothy mouth. Jen falls into a shallow pool.
No, right in the mud.
The hooded figure emerges from a shadowed area. Jen looks up, staring. The hooded figure steps toward him. A female gelfling lowers the hood, revealing long, white, blonde hair. The furry creature pops out of the hole, trailing a puffy tail.
Huh? What Kuda?
You Gelfling? Like me?
Well, yes.
But I thought I was the only one.
I thought I was.
Jen looks down at the pool.
Oh. Here. I'll help you out.
The two Gelfling clasp hands.
The first thing I remember is fire. It's a war, I think. A tree. My mother puts me right inside, and we're... Mother! Mother the monster!
First thing I remember is the kind one. He picks me up, and he's big. He makes the monsters disappear, and I be safe.
I am safe.
What's happening?
We're dream fasting, sharing our memories.
I'm having a bath.
When I was little, I used to get fed by my new mom. She called me Kira.
And then bigger. Oh, and Master, you showed me the whole valley stretching out. I thought it went on forever. Kira, watch out.
The Garthim. They capture the podlings.
And I'm happy.
And that makes me cry.
My master is family.
Sometimes
and teacher
it is good.
And friend. And I can nearly
I can
forget
go free
the thing that happened.
And talk with flowers and all the living things.
And he shows me numbers and things called words. And everywhere I go, I learn the shapes of kindness. I learned from them all, except there's no one here like me. I need to find...
And yes, I love them all. Except I need to find...
Wait.
I want...
It's going away.
Jen and the female Gelfling let go of each other's hands.
Oh, no. I'm sinking.
Don't move.
Don't move? Where would I go?
The Fizzgig paws at the female Gelfling.
Vio! Vio!
The water swells. Jen rises out of the water on the segmented back of a huge creature. The Fizzgig hides. The aquatic creature lifts its toad-like face to the female Gelfling.
Why? Oh. What is that?
Just an ebri. She won't hurt you. Dobar, Natraksad. Dobar.
Kira.
The female Gelfling turns.
Your name is Kira.
We were dream-fasted. You and I. Fizzgig.
The Fizzgig wags its tail.
Fabia, come on.
Kira picks it up.
Fizzgig, avoye Jen.
Jen reaches toward the furry Fizzgig.
Fizzgig! Fizzgig.
She sets it down.
Doyle, you seem very strange to him.
He seems pretty strange to me.
He's nervous. Here, Skeksis are watching always. We must go. Come.
Jen follows Kira away. The Fizzgig approaches the Nebri. The Fizzgig retreats. Two grub-like baby Nebri nuzzle the larger Nebri. At the castle, podling slaves carry a baby Nebri on a platter.
Ah, roast Nebri, my favorite Nebri. I want the rare.
The Skeksis sit along one side of a long, curving banquet table covered with food. The ritual master eats a morsel from a sharp metal fork he wears on his finger. The scientist reaches toward a vessel near the treasurer. The treasurer stops him.
You slime face!
The ritual master takes another bite from his finger fork. The new emperor dips something into a goblet. The gourmand lifts his face from a bowl of food. Slimy green leaves hang from his beak. The ornamentalist takes a bite from her own finger fork. She brings her bony hands close to her chest. The slave master bites into a purple object with orange flesh, pulling away a rubbery strand with his mouth. The emperor chews. He throws an item over his shoulder. A piece of food rolls across the floor in front of three rat-like creatures nibbling on scraps. The emperor dabs at his beak with a cloth. Limp, wet leaves dangle from the ritual master's mouth.
It seems to me that Gelfling has escaped. No Gelfling ever escaped from my deadly garden.
The emperor yanks a glob of stringy food from his beak. The gourmand chews.
More food! More food!
The emperor picks at a back tooth with his long, bony finger. More stringy food falls out of his mouth. The ornamentalist uses a bejeweled toothpick. The emperor lowers his beak into a bowl of water. The water bubbles. The emperor sits up. He shakes his head and wipes his beak with a cloth. A podling slave sets down a bowl full of feathery fluff balls.
Ah, dessert! Rory!
Dessert!
A fluffball escapes from the bowl and skitters along the table. Skeksis smash at the fluffball. The gourmand catches the fluffball and shoves it into his mouth.
Not bad at all.
The ritual master turns his head.
Look, the Garthen return.
The Gelfling.
Garthen.
Two Garthen lumber in. One of the Garthim drags a wriggling sack behind it. The Garthim stop in front of the banquet table.
Release the Gelfling!
Orgra emerges from the sack.
Fools! Skeksis fools! What do you want with me?
This is no Gelfling!
Of course I'm no Gelfling, you putrid lizards! I'll get my eyes for you!
The ornamentalist cowers.
She was with him! She helped him! Where is he?
Gone! Gelfling gone! Stupid Garthim!
She smacks one of the Garthim.
You want Gelfling? Why not ask me? No, easier to send your crab-brained soldiers!
Burn my home!
Now, home gone! Gelfling gone! Nothing but Orgra! Moldy mildew, mother of mouth muck, dangled and strangled to death!
Oh, how cruel!
Watch your tongue, Harridan. We are lords of the crystal.
Lords? Not for long! What about the prophecy? That a Gelfling will end Skeksis' power?
Orgra squats.
He'll come, make you crawl like the worms you are!
Find that Gelfling! Now!
Crystal bats fly! Search the land! Search the water! Search the sky!
Crystal bats swoop through the dining room and fly off into the twilight sky. In the swamp, a rodent-like animal retreats into tall grass. Large pitcher plants stand by a body of water, slowly raising and lowering their lids. Kira pilots a small boat. Jen and the Fizgig ride with her. Jen lifts his pipe. On a bank by the water, a bird cocks its head. A spiny creature rests in the water. Its head held high and alert. Tall stems topped with downy tufts sway in the breeze. Beyond the stems, Kira's leaf-shaped boat moves along the water. A crystal bat glides overhead. Kira twirls a sling, then lets it fly. The bat plummets into the water. Kira looks over her shoulder.
What was that?
A crystal bat. What they see, the Skeksis see too.
Did it see us?
No, I don't think so.
The crystal bat lifts its body out of the water. It turns toward the retreating Gelfling. The bat's crystalline body reflects Jen and Kira in the boat. Meanwhile, under a darkening sky, the mystics shuffle along a grassy ridge. In the forest, Kira carries the Fizgig as she and Jen approach a village.
Aren't these the people from your memory?
When the Garthim killed my parents, the Podlings adopted me. They're my clan.
Podlings pop up.
Kira! Kira! Amelia!
Avoye Jen!
Jen!
Come.
Jen follows Kira into the village. Podling musicians play inside a bustling tavern. More Podlings sit at a table, drinking and talking. A server podling carries a bowl on her shoulder. A small redhead podling claps along with the music. Kira and Jen stand near another table. A wrinkled podling offers Jen a tray of food.
How do you say thank you?
Falavam.
Falavam.
Jen turns to another server.
Falavam.
A grey-haired podling approaches. Two podlings carry a large jug attached to long poles. A podling sitting in a window pours a drink into the jug. Another podling emerges from inside the jug, dripping wet. The musicians play vigorously. A drummer beats on his instrument with two large sticks. A podling cuddles the fizzgig. One female podling dances. Another chews on a piece of food.
You know the three suns in the sky? They're going to come together soon. It's called the great something or other. It's a prophecy. And he told me that I must find the shard and that everything must be done before the three suns join in one. And that's all. And then he died.
A young podling approaches them, waving a toy. Another podling shoos the young one away. One podling holds his legs in the air, keeping a bottle aloft with his feet.
Jen, what's the shard for?
That's just it. I don't know. I found the shard.
But you don't know what to do with it.
Jen!
A grey-haired podling pulls Jen away from the table. They dance. Podlings sit at a table, banging their wooden forks in time to the music. One of the musicians plays a disc-shaped instrument. Jen plays his Y-shaped pipe. Kira sits with the fizzgig, looking from Jen to the musician. Podlings at a table put their arms around each other and sway side to side. Garthin bursts through the wall of the tavern. Podlings flee. Another Garthin breaks through the tavern wall. A third Garthin walks toward a round window, demolishing the wall around it. One of the Garthin grabs a podling. The fizzgig runs away. Kira runs to Jen.
Jen, this way!
A white-haired podling beats at a Garthin's armored back. Another podling drags him away. Jen stabs at a Garthin with the crystal shard. The crystal flashes. Elsewhere, the mystics pause and lift their heads. In the tavern, a Garthin smashes a table with its enormous claw. Another Garthin snatches up a podling. Podlings run through the chaotic, smoky interior of the tavern. Kira and Jen emerge into the dark forest. The fizzgig leaps behind them. Podlings wait by a tavern window, helping others escape. A Garthin grabs one of the podlings and stuffs it into a wooden cage already full of other captive podlings. A Garthin scuttles toward a baby, sucking its thumb. Another podling pulls the baby out of the way at the last second. A Garthin stalks by, carrying a cage full of podlings on its back. Another looks around with its beady purple eyes. Jen and Kira duck. The Garthin scuttles toward them.
Jen!
Come on! Come on!
The Chamberlain intercepts the Garthin.
What was that creature?
Skeksis!
Jen and Kira run. The Chamberlain stops the Garthin again. The Chamberlain turns his head and eyeballs the fleeing Gelfling. Jen, Kira, and the fizzgig dash through the gloomy forest. They move past leafy plants and ferns. Jen falls.
Wait! They won't find us here.
Jen and Kira crouch in a small clearing surrounded by shrubs.
It's all my fault.
It's Skeksis. He saved us from his own Garthim.
First Olgris, then your village.
Jen holds up the crystal shard.
I wish I'd never heard of this shard.
He throws it.
No, Jen! Oh, Jen, they hurt your arm. Here, this moss will make it better.
Kira presses a clump of moss to a wound on Jen's right arm.
It wasn't your fault. The wisdom of always come?
The Fizgig rests on the ground next to Kira as she tends to Jen's arm. Then, sunlight glows behind patchy clouds scattered above the horizon. The nine mystics, silhouetted by the dawn light, shamble along a ridge. In the morning, a creature resembling a feathered anteater perches in a tree. Jen and Kira sleep nestled together on the ground. The Fizgig stirs by their feet.
Oh, Master, I remember the valley. I didn't understand. I miss the other masters with the old, old magic and chants. I never loved them enough. Out here in the world, look at me. I'm not a hero. Not the way you want it. Master, nothing is simple anymore. Master. Master?
Jen and Kira look at each other.
Where are we?
Safe.
Safe? I don't think anywhere is safe anymore.
Jen rises. He plucks the moss from his arm as he looks around. Jen turns toward a crumbling stone wall covered in flowers and climbing vines.
These are ruins.
They're the houses of the old ones.
You mean our ancestors?
The crystal shard rests on a stone carving of a three-petal pattern. Jen wanders toward the ruins.
Jen? Here's the shard.
Kira picks it up. Jen walks further into the old structure.
I can feel something. Hear it almost.
We don't go in here anymore. Bad things happened in here once.
But they were Gelfling. Like us.
Yes. They were all killed by the Skeksis long ago.
Jen and Kira open a pair of double door frames. Inside the ruin, plants grow over stone carvings. A stone throne features the three-petal pattern carved into its backrest. Jen ambles into a chamber on his left. Kira glances around the ruin. She climbs a set of steps leading to the throne and sits.
Here.
Jen points to hieroglyphs carved on a wall.
Just look at this. That looks just like the shard. What does it mean?
And what are those funny marks?
Oh, this is all writing.
What's writing?
Words that stay. My master told me.
Oh.
When single shines the triple sun, what was sundered and undone shall be whole. The two made one, by Gelfling hand, or else by none. By Gelfling hand? Do you know what that means, Kira?
Wait. This is a piece of the dark crystal.
Then that's what my master meant.
Yes.
I have to put
you
it...
You have to heal the dark crystal.
Prophecy!
Jen! Skeksis!
Stay! No, stay! Stay, Emfren!
The Chamberlain approaches.
Stay, Emfren! Prophecy! Prophecy caused all this trouble!
That prophecy?
Yes!
That's why Skeksis killed Gelfling?
Yes! Yes! Bad mistake! Skeksis afraid! Fear Gelfling!
But you're Skeksis!
But I am friend! Save you from Garthim!
Why?
Don't listen to him! It's a trick!
No! Please! Must listen! I'm outcast. If I make peace, I'm outcast no more.
Will you stop the Garthim attacks?
Yes, please. Come to the castle. Please, show them you want peace. Show them Gelfling will not harm us. Please, please, please.
Jen! No!
Kira stands between Jen and the Chamberlain.
Come, please, please, yes, please.
Jen looks at the Chamberlain.
No! Come on, Kira.
They run.
No! Wait!
Please?
Please? Wait! Please make peace!
Jen and Kira dash through the forest.
Now I know what I have to do. How do I get to the castle?
I'll show you.
Kira stops and lifts her hand to her mouth. A flat-faced, bearded animal emerges. It has long, thin tusks like whiskers.
Over here! Stanye Tamar!
What's that?
It's a land strider. Stanye Tamar! Dobar! Dobar!
How did you learn to call them?
The podlings taught me.
Four long-legged land striders approach.
Stanye Tamar! Dobar! Yes, yes. Don't be afraid. Stanye, Stanye. Dobar. Let's go.
Kira mounts a land strider.
Oh, bar, bar. They'll take us.
But, Kira, you don't have to go.
I know.
All right, together then.
Jen mounts a second land strider. The Fizzgig rests on a nearby rock.
No, Fizzgig. You stay here. Dole.
The Fizzgig opens its mouth wide, revealing multiple rows of teeth.
Oh, all right. Come on. Tamar, Tamar. Tamar, Fizzgig. Tamar. Dobar. Hang on, Jen. They go fast.
Yes.
The Fizzgig jumps onto Kira's land strider. The land striders take off. They move smoothly and rapidly down a sunny path along the forest's edge.
The prophecy didn't say anything about this.
Prophets don't know everything.
Jen and Kira cling to sparse fur on the land striders' shoulders as the gangly beasts carry them along the wooded landscape. Kira glances back at Jen. Her hair and cloak flutter in the breeze. In the castle, flames burn in a metal wall fixture. Below the fixture, a long furry creature with a fox-like face curls up in a small cage. More animals twitch in wooden and metal cages throughout a dim space.
Silence, animals! Just little podling.
The scientist secures a podling into a metal chair between two other restrained podlings.
It won't hurt. We just want to drain your living essence. Then you can be the same as the other podlings here. A slave. Open the wall!
A podling slave pulls a lever on a machine by the wall.
Now, podling!
A recessed wall panel tilts down, opening a horizontal crevice into the steaming shaft.
Out there is the great shaft of the castle. Position the reflector.
The scientist pulls another lever.
The reflector will capture the beams of the dark crystal floating high above. Look into the reflector, podling. Feel the power of the dark crystal.
A purple shaft of light shines from a reflector into the middle podling's eyes.
Yes. And now the beam will rid you of your fears, your thoughts, your vital essence.
Liquid flows through a thin tube and into a spiked glass vessel. The podling's face withers. Its eyes turn a glazed white with small empty pupils.
You're very lucky, slave. Only the Emperor can drink your essence.
The scientist holds up the vase-shaped vessel.
He's here. Close it, slave.
The podling slave raises a lever. The reflector retracts. The Emperor approaches the scientist.
Is it ready?
Very fresh, very strong, sire.
The Emperor pours the vessel's contents down his throat.
Now, it will make you young again, sire. And as Emperor, you deserve it.
The Emperor gazes into a small mirror. His wrinkled beak smooths out. The Emperor's eyes widen. He regards his newly smooth hands. The Emperor straightens, then prances in front of the scientist.
Young! Yes, young!
The Emperor stares at his hand. The smooth skin shrivels. The scientist pulls back.
You fraud! Away, please, sire.
The Emperor sweeps equipment off a table.
Liar! Slave squeezer!
Augra stands in a metal cage nearby. Her nose twitches. Meanwhile, the two land striders carrying the Gelfling move along a grassy slope. Some distance away, five Garthim lumber toward the castle of the crystal. One carries the cage of podlings on its back.
Look!
The ones who raided your village!
Let's go! Naplushu!
Kira urges her land strider down the slope.
Kira!
She rides toward the Garthim. The land strider pierces a Garthim claw with a long proboscis. Smoke billows out. The cage of podlings falls and comes to a rest at the edge of a canyon. Kira's land strider rears up and knocks a Garthim onto its back. Jen rides toward the castle. Kira and the Fizgig fall off the land strider's back. Kira crawls toward the podling cage. The toppled Garthim waves its arms and legs. Jen dismounts.
Kira, are you all right?
Yes, but we've got to get them out.
The two land striders battle the Garthim. One land strider pierces another Garthim. Smoke puffs out of the wound. One Garthim gets underneath a land strider. The Garthim and the land strider topple into the canyon. The other Garthim surround the remaining land strider. The land strider falls. The Garthim converge on it.
No! Hurry!
Jen opens the cage door. A Garthim turns to them. The Garthim advance. The Fizgig jumps into Kira's arms. The Garthim back the Gelfling toward the canyon. Kira grabs Jen.
Hang on!
They jump. Gauzy butterfly wings extend from Kira's back. She holds Jen and the Fizgig tightly as they float toward the bottom of the canyon.
Wings! I don't have wings.
Of course not. You're a boy.
The Garthim peer over the side of the cliff as Jen, Kira, and the Fizgig make their way along the rocky canyon floor. Jen and Kira move through the canyon. Ahead of them, water flows from the mouth of a large, dragon-like face carved into the stone.
Yes, a way into the castle. This must lead into the lower part. Come on.
I don't want to go in there.
We have to go on.
Jen climbs toward the face. Kira hesitates, then follows. At the top of the canyon, the Chamberlain looks over the edge. He watches Jen crawl into the carved stone mouth. Kira trails after him, followed by the hopping Fizgig.
Fizgig, come on.
The Chamberlain withdraws. Meanwhile, the mystics make their way across a grassy plateau. Then, Jen and Kira step into a damp cave. Stalactites hang from the ceiling. A small furball skitters across the floor. Jen and Kira step toward a natural corridor formed by the rock. Kira stumbles.
Careful.
Another furball scoots along the floor toward them. The Fizgig looks around, then follows the Gelfling. Jen and Kira encounter two tunnels leading in different directions.
Which way now?
I want to go back. I smell death here.
The Fizgig cowers.
I know, but we have no choice.
The Chamberlain emerges.
Skeksis!
I knew you would come. Do not be afraid. I am here to help you, yes. Come, show them. The Gelflings live with Skeksis together in peace.
The Chamberlain grabs them.
Let go! Leave it alone!
Go! We must go! I'll show the others!
The Fizgig tears off a scrap of the Chamberlain's clothing. Jen stabs the Skeksis with the shard.
My hand!
Purple blood oozes from the wound.
So, my hand.
On the plain, the mystic with pouches on his staff looks at an identical wound on his own hand. In the cave, the Chamberlain examines his injury.
You die!
The Chamberlain pushes a stone column. Rubble and dust obscure Jen.
Jen!
go of me! Jen!
Come on!
The Chamberlain drags Kira away.
Go!
Now! Yes! Elfling! Come on!
No, Pendy! You stay with Jen!
Yes!
Let go! No, let go! Let it go of me, Jen! Jen!
Then, the ornamentalist and the gourmand walk down a corridor.
Oh, I like this grey one.
Chamberlain! Chamberlain! Get out! Get out!
The Chamberlain turns, revealing the struggling Kira.
Girlfriend!
Girlfriend! Girlfriend!
The two Skeksis flee into the Emperor's throne room. The Emperor and the Ritual Master look at each other. The Chamberlain enters with Kira. The Emperor's beak drops open.
Royal Sire, I bring you Gelfling.
I have done this. I have caught her. I bring you the Gelfling. I was wounded. I suffered horrible searing pain.
Alive, Gelfling.
Kill her! We are sworn to kill all Gelfling.
No! She's mine!
But, sire, you could drink her essence.
Because of the prophecy, we must kill the Gelfling.
No! First we take her essence, then kill!
Kira struggles. The scientist yanks Kira out of the throne room.
Essence! Drain her essence!
As for the whimpering Chamberlain, return his robes to him.
In the cave, the Fizzgig moves a rock and nuzzles Jen's limp hand. The crystal shard rests nearby. The Fizzgig turns away from Jen. Jen's fingers move. Meanwhile, the scientist enters his laboratory.
Silence! Silence, animal!
Augra's eyeball rests on a table nearby. It rotates. Augra stands in her cage behind it. The scientist shoves Kira into one of the metal chairs. He closes restraints around her wrists and legs. The scientist moves to the machine by the wall. He pulls a lever. The recessed panel tilts open into the steaming, glowing shaft. He pulls the second lever. The reflector moves toward the crevice. Kira shrinks back into her chair, wide-eyed. The reflector glows purple. Purple light bathes Kira's face. Her pupils turn white. Liquid drips into the vessel.
Yes, essence of Gelfling.
In the cave, Jen lifts his head from the rubble.
Kira, fight them! Fight them, fight!
Jen?
Kira's pupils darken.
Jen!
You, Kira, call the animals! You have the gift! Call them to freedom! Now!
Animals stir in their cages. A small creature with a rounded snout breaks through the bars of its cage. The scientist looks around, gaping. A furry animal paddles its front paws. Another creature jumps up and down on long legs.
Quiet, all of you! Stop! Stop! I want you!
Gelfling! Lomani! Lomani!
A ball of fluff rolls past Orgra's eye on the table.
Back for your cages!
Several creatures escape from their enclosures. Flying animals swoop past the scientist. More animals crawl toward him.
Back to your cages!
Orgra rattles her metal cage. Creatures leap up onto the scientist. He staggers backward and reaches for a turtle-like animal on his shoulder. Another creature leaps at his sleeve. More animals cling to his body. He backs into a lever. The purple light dims. The reflector swings to one side.
No! No!
The scientist stumbles on the recessed panel. He tumbles into the shaft and plummets toward the glowing orange depths. Meanwhile, the mystics shuffle across stony ground. One of the mystics vanishes in a flash of orange. The other mystics look toward the spot where the vanished mystic stood. They continue on. Creatures chew at Kira's restraints. A reptilian creature opens a cuff on her wrist. One of the fox-faced animals opens the other. Kira frees her legs and stands.
Too late, Gelfling! You come too late! The Great Conjunction is in hand! Now the Skeksis will have power over the stars!
When is the conjunction?
Very soon, three suns touch.
Jeff.
Kira leaves.
Go, Gelfling! I fear to death.
Three suns glow in a triangular formation in the blue sky. The mystics move across the cracked, barren land toward the Castle of the Crystal. Jen walks through the caves with the leaping Fizgig.
Get down, Fizgig. Quiet.
Jen moves up a sloped passageway.
Yes, big help you've been.
Jen stops in a naturally formed archway and looks around. He falls through a hole.
Oh, no.
The Fizgig looks down from above.
Now where am I? Fizgig!
Jen turns his head from side to side.
Gotham.
Multiple pairs of glowing purple eyes emerge from the dark behind Jen. Gotham surround him. Jen dodges their grasping claws. One Gotham tosses Jen into the air. He falls near a stone wall. A Gotham's swinging claw strikes the wall. A glowing crevice opens in the stone. Jen crawls through it. The Gotham cluster around the stone crevice. Jen swings onto the sheer inner wall of the shaft, narrowly avoiding a Gotham's snapping claw. Jen climbs the shaft wall. He pauses and looks down into the glowing pit. Outside, the eight remaining mystics cross the fractured stone landscape outside the castle. In the shaft, Jen looks up.
Is that the crystal?
High above him, the floating crystal glows purple. Jen continues to climb. Elsewhere in the castle, the Fizgig rolls out of a side passage and along a corridor. In the shaft, Jen climbs toward the laboratory's recessed opening. The reflector hangs mounted across from it. Jen climbs into the opening. He scans the wrecked laboratory. Orgra crouches behind a table.
Orgra, you're alive!
No time! No time! When single shines the triple sun!
Where's Kira?
Orgra points. Jen hurries away. Orgra picks up a small copper pan with three legs.
The Great Conjunction comes.
Outside, the mystics shuffle toward the castle entrance. A wooden archway made of root-like wood forms the entrance. Two Gotham scuttle in front of the entrance as the mystics approach. The mystics lift their heads. Gotham bow their heads and move meekly aside. The The mystics move toward the entrance. Inside, the Fizzgig moves into another corridor. It retreats as a fluffball skitters by. The Fizzgig rolls down the corridor. A fluffball chases after it. Meanwhile, Jen wanders through another corridor. He moves toward a low wall and looks down from one of the crystal chamber galleries.
Yes, the crystal.
Below him, the crystal floats above the steaming shaft in the ground. Jen looks around the empty chamber. He lifts his gaze toward the triangular opening in the roof. In another corridor, the gaunt-faced Kira hides behind a carved column. She peers toward the corridor. A figure approaches. She hides. The ritual master steps slowly down the corridor toward Kira. The other Skeksis follow. Kira's wide eyes follow the Skeksis as they file past her. She withdraws into the shadows. In the crystal chamber, Jen climbs over the low wall of the third level gallery and drops onto a balcony below. Steam rises around the floating crystal.
This is what I came for. The dark crystal.
A hole mars the top of the crystal. Jen looks up at the triangular opening.
Three suns.
The suns move closer together.
The shard.
The shard glows in Jen's hand. A shadow moves across the chamber's entrance. Jen hides as the Skeksis enter the chamber. The Chamberlain walks in, now wearing his red robes and bony backplate. Jen crouches by a stone carving on the balcony. The Skeksis slowly surround the floating crystal. A Garthim stands on a balcony to Jen's left. In the galleries, small hooded figures shuffle in. Another Garthim looms on a balcony across from Jen. On an adjacent balcony, Kira steps into the light. Jen's eyes widen. Kira looks around. Shadows darken her hollowed eyes and cheekbones. Jen steps out from behind the carving.
Kira.
Kira and Jen reach toward each other from across the chamber. Below them, the Skeksis raise their arms. The three suns move closer together.
The great conjunction comes. Now we will live forever.
The Fizzgig rolls toward the chamber.
We will live.
It approaches Kira. The Chamberlain gapes. The Skeksis move toward Kira's balcony.
The Skeksis will destroy us!
Elfling! You'll die!
The Skeksis spot Jen. Several Skeksis move toward Jen's balcony. The Emperor raises his staff.
Confirm! Confirm! Confirm!
Yes! Let go of me!
A Garthim approaches Jen from behind. Jen leaps from the balcony onto the floating crystal. He drops the shard.
No!
It falls to the floor.
The shard!
The Emperor steps toward the shard.
shard is mine!
The Thisgig bites his arm. The Emperor stands, almost knocking the shard into the shaft.
Go,
the Emperor flings the Thisgig into the shaft.
Thisgig!
Kira spreads her wings. She floats to the floor and grabs the shard.
She has the shard!
The Skeksis surround her.
Take it from her! Now!
Watch out, Kira!
Kira spins, wielding the shard like a weapon.
Kira! Behind you! Leave her alone!
Give us the shard and you can go free!
Yes! Just don't harm her!
No, Jen! Heal the crystal.
Kira!
Kira throws the shard. The ritual master stabs Kira. Jen catches the shard. Kira falls to her hands and knees. Her elbows buckle. She collapses.
Kira.
The Skeksis turn toward Jen. He raises the shard. Jen looks up. The three suns align. A beam of light hits the top of the floating crystal. The shard gleams. Jen drives the shard into the hole on the crystal. The crystal flashes. Jen flies off and falls to the floor. The Skeksis gape. The crystal glows white. The Chamberlain covers his eyes. Jen gets to his feet. He looks toward Kira, lying motionless on the floor. A Garthim falls to pieces like an empty suit of armor. The Skeksis pace in anguish. Jen gently strokes Kira's hair. Another Garthim's arm drops, then its head. A third Garthim collapses. Chunks of the stone ceiling begin to fall. Jen cradles Kira's limp body. The mystics shuffle into the chamber. Outside, the castle begins to crumble. The hooded podling slaves turn, their white eyes darken. The mystics advance toward the crystal. The Emperor looks around, wide-eyed. Chunks of the castle fall away. Orgra wanders through the laboratory as rocks and dust rain down around her. The building shakes. Orgra steps toward the opening in the shaft. The Thisgig clings to the reflector.
How did you get out there?
Orgra grabs a pitchfork and prods the Thisgig.
Come on there.
In the crystal chamber, tears shine on Jen's cheeks. He looks up toward the glowing crystal. The mystics surround it. Chunks of the castle walls tumble to the ground, letting in bright sunlight. The recovered podling slaves disperse. Orgra waddles along a rubble-strewn corridor. The Thisgig rolls after her. The mystics arrange themselves in a circle around the white floating crystal, then turn their backs to it. The stone ceiling collapses, revealing translucent crystal walls underneath. Beams of light shine from the crystal to the back of each mystic, then from each mystic's eyes to the back of a retreating Skeksis. The Skeksis freeze. The Skeksis move slowly backward, as though pulled by the beams of light. Chunks of stone fall away from the clear crystal walls of the castle. The mystics rise up. They stand tall, spreading their four arms as the Skeksis back toward them. Light glows from each pair of Mystic and Skeksis. Then, from each pair rises a floating white being in a long robe. An Urskek. The eight Urskeks have long, somber faces and crests rising straight up out of their heads like a cluster of branches. Augra looks down from an upper level of the chamber.
What was sundered and undone shall be whole, the two made one.
Jen looks up toward the Urskeks surrounding the crystal. One Urskek rests an elegant, slender hand on the other.
And now the prophecy is fulfilled. We are again one.
Jen stands, lifting Kira's limp body. He steps toward the Urskeks.
Many ages ago, in our arrogance and delusion, we shattered the pure crystal, and our world split apart. Your courage and sacrifice have made us whole and restored the true power of the crystal. Hold her to you. She is part of you, as we all are part of each other.
Jen clutches Kira tightly and closes his eyes. The Urskek touches its fingertips together. Kira stirs. She opens her eyes and smiles at Jen, her face restored to its former healthy glow. The Urskek regards them with pure white eyes.
Now we leave you the crystal of truth. Make your world in its light.
Jen and Kira lean their heads together and gaze at the Urskeks. The floating Urskeks lower their long arms by their sides. Their forms become blurry. Swirls of multicolored light surround the vanishing Urskeks. A glowing vortex rises toward the ceiling of the crystal chamber and disappears through the triangular opening. Jen and Kira watch the light dissipate. They look back toward the gleaming white crystal of truth. The glimmering crystal castle now stands in a lush green plain near a wide, sparkling river. Credits. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Liz Gutman. Voiced by Stuart Williams. The character performers: Jen, Jim Henson; Kira, Catherine Mullen; Augra, Frank Oz; Fizgig, Dave Gels; The Skeksis, Chamberlain Frank Oz; General Garthim Master, Dave Gels; High Priest Ritual Master, Jim Henson; Scientist Steve Whitmire; Gourmand Louise Gold; Ornamentalist Brian Mule; Historian Scrollkeeper Bob Payne; Slave Master Mike Quinn; Treasurer Tim Rose; The Mystics, Urza and the Dying Master, Brian Mule; Weaver, Jean-Pierre Amiel; Cook, Hugh Spite; Numerologist, Robbie Barnett; Hunter, Sui Lim; Chanter, Simon Williamson; Scribe, Huss Levant; Alchemist, Toby Philpott; Healer, Dave Greenaway and Richard Slaughter; Landstriders, Hugh Spite, Sui Lim, Robbie Barnett. The character voices: Jen, Stephen Garlick; Kira, Lisa Maxwell; Augra, Billy Whitelaw; Fizgig, Percy Edwards; The Skeksis, Chamberlain, Barry Denon; General, Michael Kilgariff; High Priest and Dying Emperor, Jerry Nelson; Scientist, Steve Whitmire; Gourmand, Thick Wilson; Ornamentalist, Brian Mule; Historian Scrollkeeper, John Baddeley; Slave Master, David Buck; Treasurer, Charles Collingwood; The Mystics, Dying Master, Brian Mule; Urza, Sean Barrett; Podlings, Mickey Averia; Patrick Monckton; Sue Westerby; Barry Denon; Narrator and Urskeks, Joseph O'Connor; Associate Producer, Bruce Sharman.
Thank you.
Copyright 1982 ITC Entertainment Limited. All rights reserved. A Henson Organization Limited production for ITC Entertainment. Copyright James M. Henson and Henson Associates Incorporated, 1982. All rights reserved.